Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I shared a Pop-Tart with my friend Harry Callis, so we're bonded here today. Don't know how long he'll be with us. T-Bird's warming up in the bullpen. But he has lasted longer than Roansy Contreras yesterday, which was one out. One out, and he gave up 7 earned runs. Do you know how you figure out an ERA based on that situation, Harold?
A third of an inning?
Yeah. You multiply 7, which is 7 earned runs, times .3333. And do you know what his ERA was for the day? For that particular day? Take a guess.
81.
189.02.
Oh, I was close.
That's not good.
No.
And I don't think you're going to see him in the rotation for a while. I don't. But who cares about that at the moment? Because we're going to talk a little hockey and who knows what else with my friend Jonathan Bomboli of the Trib. Jonathan, it's been a while, which is another way of saying it's been a while since Ron's gone on vacation. It's the only time you come on the show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I like Ron, too. I mean, Ron and I get along.
I know. He's never said anything. I just get a vibe about it. I don't know. I don't like to pass guests past him. Or by him, that are unvetted somehow, that we haven't already talked to. See, he doesn't like change. He doesn't like newness. Have you gotten that impression?
I think that this is like the most Captain Obvious statement of all time. But I think you're more into offbeat shenanigans than he is, and I think I can roll with your offbeat shenanigans fairly well.
Did you hear about my friend who believes that hooded aliens embedded computer chips in his anus?
No, I didn't. Is that a real thing, or did you just put a bunch of words together?
No, that actually happened. I don't know if that happened, but this person believes it, and I think UFOs have become a big story this week, given the one story where the guy said the government is hiding all these spaceships and perhaps pilots and things like that. Do you believe this, Jonathan?
I haven't followed the story at all. It's not something that interests me. I feel like there's a personality trait you have to have to be like really into these type of paranormal kind of stories, you know, with the aliens and the big feet and the, like the cryptozoology and all these sorts of things. I don't have it. I just don't have curiosity about that. But I would imagine the universe being as large as it is, you know, just based on that, there's probably something out there. But I haven't followed the story about what the government is telling us or not telling us about aliens.
Yeah, I don't care that much if they are out there, as long as they're not dangerous, as long as they're friendly.
I mean, do you think they would be friendly? Because, I mean, the history of humans, when they come in contact with people who are different from them, it doesn't usually end very well. Remember, aliens.
That's true.
I mean, really, you know. I mean, if you think about it, like, you know, we've had wars over all kinds of small differences between types of humans. Imagine meat coming across creatures that aren't humans. I mean, there would be a war, I would imagine, of some kind. And we'd probably get beat pretty bad.
Would you want Matt Canada planning anything out in that battle? I don't think I would. How about this one? Bear helps itself to 60 cupcakes from a Connecticut bakery and then, scares employees. This guy just walked, a black bear just walked into a Connecticut bakery and immediately went for the cupcakes. Why that? Why didn't he go for the cookies or the pies, Jonathan?
Interesting. Yeah, because he wouldn't think a bear would be able to discern like that. But, you know, just sense of smell, I guess. Those cupcakes must have smelled good. Maybe they were like meat cupcakes. I would think a bear would be attracted to things that smell like meat. But you know what? My takeaway from that story is, Joe, is do you remember when cupcakes were like a huge thing?
I never liked cupcakes. Yes, parties replete with cupcakes, and it doesn't happen anymore. You're right.
It was like 10 years ago, and every time you went to a bakery, the specialty was cupcakes, and they were like $8 a piece or something like that. And they, like, whole businesses sprouted up about it, and everybody was supposed to love cupcakes. And the reality was most of them were pretty bad. They were like big and dry like muffins. Because you got to make them big to be able to charge $8 for them. And now it's sort of gone away.
I agree. They feel like an endangered species. There's this place in Georgetown, D.C., where people wait in lines, and we did it. We waited in this huge line to get into this cupcake place, and then in the end, they were just cupcakes. Like, how much can you really do with a cupcake?
Well, I think it's the dessert du jour now is high-end cookies.
You know, I like cookies. Yeah,
but what about a cookie that they charge like $6 for? Are you down with that?
Not really, no. Yeah. Can we get to hockey?
Cookie. Oh, sure.
You've had some interesting tweets lately. Some very, very interesting tweets. And I find that I don't know whether you're kidding or not sometimes. For instance,
that's the best kind.
For instance, will the Maple Leafs buy out Matt Murray this summer? You subtweet that. Murray for Granlund. Who says no?
And I did something similar with, who else was it?
Mo Mantha. Anthony Mantha.
Anthony Mantha from the Capitals. Yeah. Here's where that came from. This is the grain of reality behind it. I think you can move Michael Granlund. I don't think he's unmovable because he's actually a somewhat useful player. He's just vastly overpaid. So my thought was you can move him for somebody else's salary cap problem. And, you know, Matt Murray in Toronto probably qualifies as that. And Anthony Mantha in Washington definitely qualifies as that. So I was just sort of looking around, like, what would a Michael Granlund trade look like? And to me, it's you move him for somebody else's problem, just somebody whose problem fits your system a little bit better. But you might also be able to move him to a team that's just, you know, like I saw Chicago and how far they are under the cap floor. At some point, they're going to be just taking on anybody just so they can, you know, have enough of a payroll. So, I mean, I think there's scenarios where Granlund can be moved if you think it's absolutely critical to move him. I think it probably is. And that's where that came from. But would acquiring Matt Murray be realistic? I mean, probably not. Although the Kyle Dubas-Matt Murray relationship absolutely fascinates me. It's just one of the stories that I find totally interesting. It's a long backstory. I won't go into it, but they know each other from their junior days in Sault Ste. Marie. And then there was like animosity, but they respected each other and then they liked each other. And it's just a really interesting relationship.
Well, what are the Penguins going to do? What is Dubas going to do? How much say does Mike Sullivan have here about the goaltending situation? Sully is on the record saying that Tristan Jarry is a, quote, top-tier goalie, but he's also an unrestricted free agent. What are they going to do? What is Jarry going to do?
I don't think Sullivan does have a whole lot of say in goaltending. I would think it's the one spot where he'd have the least amount of say because, your coach has to put together systems, but they're going to be the same no matter who his goaltender is. So I would think that would be the area where he'd have the least input. What are they going to do? I'm operating under the assumption that Jarry wants a longer term deal, 5-6 years, $5-6 million, that kind of thing. And that's really kind of a bridge too far, I think, given his track record, especially with his health, more so than his quality of play, just his availability. So I'd be really hesitant to give a long term deal to a guy with an injury history like that. So what's Kyle Dubas do? And, you know, if you look at his track record, I thought the most interesting thing he said in his introductory press conference was when he said, you know, goaltending is a very important position, and it's also the most difficult position to project. You don't know what you're going to get year to year from a goaltender. And so when he put together Toronto's roster last offseason, he went out and got Ilya Samsonov and Matt Murray. And these are guys who, you know, have shown ability in the past, but weren't necessarily coming off a great season. So if that's the type of formula that Dubas follows, I mean, look, to me, goaltending is so important. And the Penguins have been, like, I thought last season, poor goaltending was probably the biggest reason they missed the playoffs. So to me, that should be, like, totally the number one priority, no matter what the cap situation is, no matter what kind of assets you have to give up, shore up your goaltending first. And so that would lead you to say, go make a play for Connor Hellebuck. Go make a play for Carter Hart. Try to get, you know, UC Soros, the big blue chip.
Wait a second. Wait a second. I'm into that. I've talked about Gibson and Hellebuck. Tell me more about Soros, and tell me more especially about Carter Hart.
Well, Soros is – there have been rumors with him just because Nashville's kind of in a rebuilding phase. I don't know how realistic that is. But I think Carter Hart's definitely going to get traded because, you know, the Flyers are in like – they were kind of like – they didn't go into a full rebuild probably like they should have like a year or two ago, but they're doing it now. So – and I think Carter Hart's a stud who's been playing on a bad team.
So do I.
Yeah. But he's probably going to get moved. And, you know, the Penguins have the assets to get him. I don't know. Would the Flyers trade him to the Penguins? I don't know about that either. But he'd be my number one guy as far as that goes.
He's only 24. Why don't the Flyers want him as part of their rebuild?
Well, because I don't know that, you know, he'll be 28 by the time they're any good. So I think he's a really valuable asset. You look at what they did with Ivan Provorov, who isn't nearly as valuable an asset, and they got like a first and second round pick for him. All they had to do is take on some bad cap.
I would give them a lot to get Carter Hart. He's my favorite of everybody we've mentioned. I thought he was unbelievable last year on a horrific team. I think that kid is an absolute stud.
I agree. And I'll tell you what else. That for a team with a track record of having such a hard time finding goalies, I'd be real apprehensive if I were the Flyers to give up a good one.
Me too.
Yeah, all indications seem like they're going to move him. But the reason I brought all those guys up is I don't think Dubas thinks that way. Like, I don't think he's going to go after those guys because he thinks goaltending is so difficult to project. So you could go out and make a huge trade for Connor Hellebuck, and he could have a bad year. But you could just as easily go find somebody off the scrap heap who's about to have a good year. Like, you know, Aiden Hill's in the is going to win a Stanley Cup, you know. So, and there's some validity to that. Aiden Hill is going to win a Stanley Cup. I mean, you know, Connor Hellebuck isn't. So, it seems like Dubas is the kind of guy who will go after a lower tier goaltender who he thinks has upside potential more so than one of these big name guys. And the funny thing about that is, Tristan Jarry is like the kind of guy that fits that profile, which is funny because he's a pretty good goalie coming off injury. And if you imagine a scenario where Tristan Jarry is healthy for a full season, you could totally imagine him emerging as one of the better goalies in the league.
Would you make him a contract offer?
Well, yeah. See, that's the problem. Sure, but not – I'm not. You can't commit to a guy with that injury history for that long for that amount of money. And I just think – The track record over the last couple of years is kind of, it's negative, it's toxic. I'd move on because I think there are probably other guys that you can get that can have a bounce back year. There's not one guy who has talent but is injury riddled. You know, there's several guys like that. So you go out and you get one. You get a Frederick Anderson or a Jonas Korpisalo or, you know, I mean, there's lots of guys that I think are pretty good goalies. That could just as easily have a huge year as Tristan Jarry could without the injury history.
Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Peters Township. Visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Jonathan Bomboli of The Trib is on the fan hotline presented by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. Well, what if you're advising Jarry then? Because all it takes is one team to see him as the next Linus Allmark, who I know failed in the playoffs, but the Bruins identified him as sort of a late 20s underachiever who had been hurt, who had been on a bad team. Maybe somebody looks at Tristan Jarry that way. Do you think one team out there would give him $5 million a year, something like that? What would you advise him to do?
The goalie market is, you know, it's been pretty tight, you know, in recent years, so that if you were a good goalie who hit free agency, you got a pretty good deal. And he's still young enough where he could get a longer term deal from somebody. Like, I think somebody will give him 5x5 or 6x6. I'd just be so hesitant to do it because of his injury history. But the other thing is, you know, we were just throwing around names that appear to be available in trade. And that was quite a few, and that certainly isn't an exhaustive list. So if you're a team that's looking for goaltending and you've got all these goalies who are available in trade and then a handful of decent free agents, like it's a buyer's market for goaltenders. At least that's what it looks like for me. So maybe I'm overestimating what Jarry actually could get. I think the real sort of interesting question to me, if that's the price for Jarry, it's an easy no. The harder dilemma is, what if the market is dry for goaltenders and he wants to take a short prove it deal? You know, say he wants, say he'll take a 1 year deal for $4 million. Do you want him then? That's a much harder question.
All right, let me ask you about some of the people up front, what you would do with some of these guys. I'll phrase the first question this way. If you were going to trade one of the following: Gensel, 1 year left on his deal. Rust, Raquel, many, many years left on their deals. Raquel's will take him well into his 30s. Rust, the same. He's already in his 30s. Which one of those guys would you be inclined to deal if you picked one, if you're Kyle Dubas, and for what reason?
Well, I don't know that I'd trade any of them, first of all. And I actually probably think that the Penguins are closer to good than most people do. So I don't think they need major overhauls, and that's because I like the way they played 5-on-5 in general last season. I thought that they had a lot more scoring chances. Like they're going to score more goals than they did last year. It's just the numbers don't bear it out. They have the second most high danger shots in the league and the 22nd most high danger goals in the league. Like, that's not going to happen again. So there's some regression due there, and I think you need to make sort of stylistic changes that fit your style more than changes that completely overhaul your roster. So what I'm saying is, get some speed in there in the bottom six. Get some youth in there in the bottom six. You don't need stars. You need complementary pieces. Now, that said, I'll answer your question. I'm not trying to duck it. In a vacuum, Jake Gensel's the guy you trade because he'd get a good bit. As a fairly young guy who has a 40-goal season on his resume, and he only has the 1 year on his contract. So, you know, that's the type of scenario where you trade a guy. The problem is, I don't think your captain would like that very much, and I'm fairly certain that Kyle Dubas knows that already. So to me, it's a non-starter just for that reason. And I don't think that's unreasonable. Like, I don't think Crosby is wielding undue influence by liking his line mate. I think that's certainly his prerogative as a player with his immense credentials. If he says, you know, I'd prefer to have this guy on my wing, the GM should say, yeah, okay, that's a good idea, Sam.
Well, what if the GM says, I like that idea, but we don't project Jake to be, he's a smaller guy, first of all, and this is going to be his age 29 season. And I think you may have seen the best of Jake Gensel, honestly. I don't know that his body is going to withstand the kind of punishment it already has endured well into his 30s. I just think it's an unwise investment, and I think right now he is a really good asset for them to bring in maybe a different kind of player. So I'd certainly, I got into this discussion with Chris Mack yesterday. I listened to what Crosby has to say, but I can't organize my team around his wishes.
Well, no, not on a 1-to-20 basis, everyone on the roster. But I mean, Sid's never shown any inclination that he wanted to do that. That he's meddling in
no,
in,
not at all.
Affairs.
But
he just
I don't
likes
know
his line mate. That's
but this
not too much to ask.
Sure, and I respect that. I just don't know that I make my decision based on that.
I don't know that I would either. But I don't agree with your assessment of Gensel, because I have two words for you: Joe Pavelski. They're the same type of player. And Joe Pavelski scoring huge playoff goals at his age 38 season. Undersized guys who are at their best in that high, you know, that bumper spot, that high slot area, and guys that retrieve pucks and can skate and do little things. I think Guentzel's going to be good into his 30s. So I don't have any apprehension about giving him a longer-term deal.
Same money, $6 million a year. I would say Pavelski's a little bit more of a solid body type, but please proceed.
Yeah, maybe a little stockier, but just a little. I mean, you know, he's not a big guy. They actually – Guentzel has actually reminded me of Pavelski for a while, so that's sort of why that popped into my head. But maybe it's because they play each other in the Stanley Cup Finals, but and they're both Americans. But yeah, and it's that high slot role. But so, you know, Rust and Raquel, it would depend on what you could get for them. Those guys aren't, you know, certainly unmovable pieces, and they're good players. So if somebody really, you know, covets them, because I think you could. The one thing I'd really like to see the Penguins add. I talked about youth and speed, and that's fine. But when that stat I was sort of vaguely referencing about the chances they get versus the goals that they score.
Yeah.
I don't think that's just all dumb luck. I think part of that is you got to get guys that score ugly goals. And, you know, the first big trade Rutherford made was, you know, Hornquist for Neal. And it was perfect because it gave the Penguins a guy who could do that dirty work. And they don't know that they have a guy like that right now. So, and there aren't that many of them. But that's the kind of player I'd be on the lookout for the top six, even if it meant not re-signing Jason Zucker, although I like Zucker a whole lot. Some guy that can score some goals off his shin pads and off his butt and is kind of like a, you know, just bold of the net type. I think somebody like that will help your power play, will help your finishing. I'd like to do another James Neal for Patrick Hornquist. If you could talk me into a Guentzel for somebody like that trade, you know, I'd be more amenable to it. I don't know that your captain would be.
No, I don't think he would be, but that is precisely what I'm talking about. I like me some Jake Guentzel as much as the next person, but if you're looking for a different kind of player, which is exactly what you were just saying, then this could be your opportunity. What are you drinking?
Yeah. I have a Diet Mountain Dew.
Hmm. You'd seem to think that Mikhail Granlund is tradable.
I do, because he's not a bad player. He just makes $5 million. If he were making $2 million, you could trade him in a heartbeat. You'd probably keep him because, you know, he does some things for you. He's a penalty killer. He's good defensively. He's a good passer. Like he's not a disaster. He just, you know, makes way too much money.
How about Jeff Carter? What do you do with him at this point? Do you have to keep him, or you just say, here's your money, goodbye, because you got the cap hit's coming either way.
Yeah, and the question is, like, if he's going to be in healthy scratch territory, like, is that a role that he's willing to take on, or would he? That's a thing. That's a finesse move for a new GM, like how to deal with that situation. But I don't. Something to sort of throw out there. Jeff Carter's a Sault Ste. Marie guy, and you know that's a huge part of Kyle Dubas's identity. You know, that's how he came up through the game. His grandfather was the coach there. That's like, you know, so he's a big Sioux guy. So he might have a different opinion of Jeff Carter than, you know, 99.9% of the fan base does. I'm not sure about that. But the problem with Granlund and Carter is that, like, you can have one veteran guy who doesn't do much on your fourth line, but you really can't have two. So that's why I think the focus is on – If there was no Jeff Carter, I might advocate for keeping Granlund in your bottom six, actually. But both of them, it's too much.
Thank you, Jonathan. That was quite enjoyable. Perhaps we'll do it again tomorrow, and I can ask you more about the Dubas hire itself. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, anytime, Joe. Good to talk to you.
You too, man. Jonathan Bomboli of The Trib. Interesting doings in San Francisco. With who's going to play quarterback against the Steelers in the opener, I'll update you on that situation coming up next. You can listen to Cook and Joe every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest. Run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. And it's a tournament unlike any other. Mark your calendars for June 23rd, the return of the Going Low Fan Open at Manor Valley Golf Course. powered by Bowser Chevrolet. Call 412-353-1214. That's 353-1214 to register your foursome now. Brought to you by Precision Pointing, Cigaro Premier Cigar Lounge, JP Roofing and Siding, of course, Brushes and Beans Cafe, and Curveball Whiskey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Steelers opener. It'll be here before you know it. And if you read the stuff coming out of San Francisco, it looks like Brock Purdy might be ready for that game. Kyle Shanahan telling reporters yesterday that Purdy is right on pace. He throws three times a week, continuing right on the track he's already been on. No setbacks. It's been very good so far. And, of course, Purdy coming off the basically Tommy John surgery, right? Torn ulnar collateral ligament in his throwing elbow. So this seems sooner, but he's not throwing curveballs and stuff like that, you know? And if you give me a choice here for the opener, what would it be? If you're a Steeler fan, who would you like to see the most? Who would give you the best shot to win as a Steeler? Purdy, Lance, or Darnold? I think most people would say they want to see Darnold, right, in that game, that you would prefer to see him, and I'm not sure I disagree with that. I think Purdy is definitely going to be the starter if he's ready, although Trey Lance, I saw where Kittle said that it's like a world of difference since last year. They've got an interesting situation there. I think Darnold is the veteran backup, and I think it's Lance against Purdy to see, you know, who's going to be the quarterback of the future and the present, really. And I think Purdy deserves the job based on what he did last year. And I think the Niners, I heard the PM guys talking about this, I think they go into that game with potentially a quarterback advantage, but it depends on his health, right? It depends on Purdy's health. I thought he was really good last year. And you can say, well, what would, you know, this quarterback and that quarterback do in that system? I don't know. I just know he did really well and did better than Garoppolo in that system. Like, he was outstanding and made more explosive plays, and they were a better offense with him in there. It's almost like, in the end, he was this amazing story that you think is overdone, but he winds up taking more shots than he deserves, I think. Think about the Seattle playoff game. He was 18 of 30, 330 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Won a shootout with the Raiders, 37-34. They were putting up all kinds of numbers. And yes, they're a wildly talented offensive team. They are that. But he was just flat out really good. I don't think it didn't strike me that he was just like a peg thrown into a system and was robotic in any way, or anybody could have done it. He outperformed the veteran guy that was there that had played in a Super Bowl for them. That's a fact. Having said that, if you're going to get the Niners and Purdy, week one, I think, is a great time to get him. When he's probably still a little rusty, maybe a little tentative, maybe not back to full strength. And the Steelers, if you're going to bet on them, week one's a great time for it. Early in the season is a great time for it when their defense is healthy and intact. And we've seen that play out in dramatically destructive fashion the last 2 years. That wasn't just anybody that they pounded. That was Josh Allen in Buffalo when he was on his way to a great, great year a couple of years ago. And they destroyed him and destroyed them in ways that you don't normally see. And the exact same was true of Burrow last year. You want to put together the 10 or 20 best defensive efforts in the NFL over the past two regular seasons? Man, I'd love to see ones that were significantly better than what the Steelers did in Buffalo, and especially what they did to Burrow and the Bengals last year. Just broke them and him in half. Destroyed them. And in both cases, that was before injuries started to set in, before a couple years ago, before Melvin Ingram quit. Of course, the TJ Watt situation last year. But man, you give me a healthy, intact Steeler defense in week one. I kind of like their chances against the 49ers, no matter who the quarterback is. And it certainly is trending at this point toward being Purdy. It sure looks that way. Because Shanahan has basically said on the record that's his guy, at least hinted that way. All right, there's a major story in the NFL, a star that is free for anybody to get. Let's talk about that and how it relates maybe to the Steelers in some ways, at least raising some questions for the Steelers. And then top of the hour, our friend and yours, Sean Gentile of The Athletic. That's ahead on Cook and Joe.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Man, the life of a running back in the NFL, Dalvin Cook, about to be released. Maybe it's already happened. Multiple reports suggesting that the Vikings are doing just that. This is a guy still in his prime at 27. still highly productive and just see you in the middle of a contract. And I'm not saying I blame the Vikings. I can tell you that necessarily because they're probably trying to get ahead of the game here. Maybe they feel, maybe there has been some attrition when you actually look at the numbers, but the numbers are still pretty darn good. And there's a bunch of guys out there. Ezekiel Elliott is out there. There's several guys. He might be damaged goods at this point, but what a brutal position is sort of the moral of that story. And it starts in college. I was telling Crowley earlier today when he joined me for a segment or two. Remember doing a piece on James Conner. It was done in the vein. It was after his sophomore year where he was the ACC Player of the Year over Jameis Winston. He was a grown man, as we know from watching him at Pitt, who carried the ball, 400 times over a couple years in a destructive manner. He was ready for the NFL. Now, this was before he got sick, this column, and then made his amazing comeback and all of that. But the point at the time was, here's Paul Christ at that time, who can go shop his services to the highest bidder wherever he wants to go. And there were rumors then of him leaving for his dream job at Wisconsin. And I always love that phrase. Like, that's what was used to justify Ben Howland leaving at the beginning of his contract. Well, that's his dream job, UCLA. Okay. My dream job's just to go somewhere where I make a lot of money. But I'm a bad guy and Howland's a good guy. And Christ was okay for leaving because it was his dream job. But if you leave for any other job, then you're bad. But that's beside the point. At that time, it just seemed very odd to me that here's a guy in Connor who had sacrificed his body for the Pitt program, who was clearly ready for the NFL, but who couldn't leave because of the rule. You have to play, it would be 3 years. You don't necessarily have to play, but most do. 3 years after high school before you can go to the NFL. So he was stuck taking all this punishment for whom and for what? And then at that time, projecting ahead to the NFL, he looked like maybe a first or second round pick at that point. And you think, okay, he's going to go sign with somebody. What if he becomes a star? Like Le'Veon Bell was arguably the best running back in the league in his second year, but was tied into a contract where it looked like he may never see another one, as all rookies are. But at that position, how in the world can you be maybe the best at your position in the whole league and not ask or get more money when you're taking the kind of punishments running backs endure? This is why running backs wanted to start their own union. I actually understand why they did. Now, Dalvin Cook is a guy who went out and got a nice little contract. He got that second contract, but not for long, as they say in the NFL, because he's about to be released. Andrew Brandt makes sense here. Austin Eckler making noise about a contract with the Chargers, and they basically did nothing. There's three franchise tag running backs out there, including Saquon Barkley, who can't get a long-term deal. I think that's where Najee Harris is going to be in a couple years. The Steelers will tag him or will retain him for that fifth year or maybe sign him for 1 year on a franchise tag at some point. But to commit to these guys at that position long-term is crazy. And as Brandt says, these are some of the best players in the league at their position. The business of being an NFL running back is not a good one. It's just not. And that's why I don't blame guys like Le'Veon Bell for doing what he did, for trying to extract every single penny he could get out of his talents. Because, man, people sure used him and his body for every single benefit they could get, starting at Michigan State. And if you ever saw his, and he wound up getting a contract, so good for him, with guaranteed money. And if he had waited one more year, he might not have, because he might have been a guy that was already beaten up beyond recognition and unsignable to a big deal after that. You ever see his college stats? Le'Veon Bell for D'Antonio at Michigan State. 382 carries his senior year. For who and for what? Junior year, I guess, his third year. 182 carries. 32 catches. Untold amounts of probably pass pro blocks and things like that. In his career at Michigan State, forced again to stay in college or at least not go to the NFL for 3 years out of high school, Le'Veon had 671 carries. For what? So D'Antonio could get paid? 671 carries without a dime. Then he goes to the NFL where he's banged up, you remember, his rookie year. And this is just an example. It's one of many when you look at this particular position. 244 carries his rookie year, 290 his second year, and then he gets hurt in his third year. Remember the knee injury? That could have been it for him. He, relative to what other people in the league make, like I'm not comparing this to you and I, but relative to what other people in the league make, he would have made peanuts for his whole NFL career if he was used up after 3 years. But he wasn't. He came back and carried the ball, let's see, 300, 500, 700, 800 more times for the Steelers over the next 3 years. And that's why he wanted every penny moving forward, fully guaranteed. And I never blamed him for that, never did. And he wound up getting, what, $33 million guaranteed? But that's just an example. You may be emotionally attached to that one in one way or the other. I get it. Just generally speaking, it's a position in the NFL that is unforgiving. And where guys, teams are wising up to the fact, hey, we can win with a lot of different guys. We draft a guy and just use him up. What's the point of a long-term deal for a running back? It's stupid when you think about it. So where does this leave Najee? Where is it going to leave him in a couple years? I wonder about that. Now, my recollection is that in college, because Alabama has like 73 running backs, five-star running backs every year, that, well, see, he actually did have 638 carries in his college career, never more than like 251. He didn't have a Le'Veon year where he carried it like 400 times, but still, this guy had 300 touches in his senior year at Alabama. 251 rushes, 43 catches, so almost 300 touches that year. And we know what's happened in the NFL, and we know what his running style is. How in the world? Boy, he scored 50 touchdowns those 2 years. Wow. Wow. Between running and receiving, Najee had 50 touchdowns in his last 2 years. But back to the point here, how in the world is this guy going to survive to another deal? You know how much mileage is already on him already? That's what I mean with running backs. And then even if he does, he could be the next Dalvin Cook, and 2 years into it or a year into it, they might say this is a horrible investment. See ya. He's already up to 600 touches in his NFL career. 600, he's up to 700, for God's sakes. 579 carries, 115 receptions. He's already battled some injuries. We know his running style, which I love. It's basically playoff contact. But how does he survive to a next deal? I'm not saying I necessarily feel sorry for him or any running back, but in the context of who's getting paid in the NFL, I do. Anywho, Sean Gentile coming up next. And I want to ask him more about the Penguins. We got into that a little bit the other day. At least I think it was the other day. I can't remember now when Gentile was on. But he writes all things for The Athletic. And I want to ask him about where he thinks Kyle Dubas goes next. There's already been a trade that was very interesting in the NHL where the Kings shed salary by attaching some picks to a player. And also Carter Hart. I just talked about him with Bumboli. I really like him. Man, if he were available, I would love to see him as the Penguins' next goalie. I don't give a damn what the numbers say from his last couple of years in Philly. He's young. I think he was their team MVP. They know how good he is. The team around him was horrendous. Let's talk about all of that coming up. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Summer's here. Come check out Trailblazer, Equinox, and the all-new redesigned 2024 tracks and go online at sunchevy.com. Hazy today with an air quality alert still in place and a high of 70 degrees. Ron on vacation until next week. It's Cookin' Joe.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.